So I just got a hold of the new Reb Zilberstein Choveret for this month, and I'll tell you something cute from the Sefer. This is Simon Bey's in the Maaseh Choshev of the new for the month of Shvat. So he was asked a shaila, not exactly a pure halachic question, as is the case in many of the questions that are asked in this particular type of Sefer. So he's asked a shaila. A father wants his son to go to a particular yeshiva. His son just turned 16, and he, he's in his rebellious stage. And he knows that at this point, his son was really a good boy and wants the right things. But at the end of the day, whatever the father tells him, he's going to want to be a big boy and make the decision on his own. So is it mutter for him to basically pretend, he'll send like somebody or he'll tell somebody to advise the kid to go to this particular yeshiva that the father actually wants. And then when the son, the nature of children who rebel against their parents, which is almost, all children, but that they listen to other people much more than they listen to their own parents. So then the kid will listen and then he'll say, oh, dad, I want to go to this yeshiva. And the father will say, no, I don't want you to go to that yeshiva. I want you to go to a different yeshiva, which he knows is not particularly good for his son, or not as good maybe. So he knows the kid will fight back and say that he really, really wants to go, and then the kid will end up going to this place, and he'll also think it was his decision, so it was like he made a big boy decision that he got to go, and he'll own it more, and he'll be more driven to be matzliach. Is that mutter to sort of put in front of your child a stumbling block that he will dafka go against the wishes of his parent? Is that an issue? So Rav Zilberstein has a couple of points that he makes over here, one of which talks about this idea of rebellious children, a rebellious people. He quotes from the Chazon Ish, Akasha from Rav Akiva Eger. Rav Akiva Eger has on, I think it's on his Tosos on Mishnayos, Rav Akiva Eger asks the Kasha in the name of the Pri Chadosh that when they have the Kohen Gadol swear that he's going to do the Avodah the way that he's supposed to and not the way that the tzedukim say. He says, I don't know, mehecha tesi that the Kohen Gadol is going to listen. If he's a tzeduki, so I swore that I would listen to the rabbis, but they don't know what they're talking about anyway. Why should I listen? And if he's not a tzeduki, what does he need to swear for? So Chazon Ish argued that that's not such a great kashi. He says that the nature of a person is that he might argue in one area, but it doesn't mean he's rebellious in all areas. He says that the Kohen Gadol might swear he might disagree with the Chachamim, that he's not going to bring the Ketoros the way they want, but that doesn't mean that he considers himself to be a liar. If he's willing to state and stake his reputation as an honest man and take a shmua that he's going to do it the way the Chachamim want, even if he disagrees with it, he still wants to keep his word. So there's an important yisod that Rav Zilberstein is saying, b'shem l'Chazon Ish, that rebelliousness doesn't, just because a kid is rebelling against his father or is rebelling against a particular individual of authority doesn't mean he's a rebellious child. It just means in this nekuda, he needs work, right? So that's an important thing to keep in mind. And he talks about the Sheila itself. He points out that it's not really lifnei iver to get him to go against it, especially because you're dealing with two possible isurim. Issa number one is, dishonoring your parents, a mora av ve'em. Your father says do X, you want to do Y, and you say I'm not listening to you, etc. And issa number two is your father's really mochel on his kavod. He wants you to do X, even though he's telling you he doesn't want you to do it. So that would be in the category also mentioned in Gemara Kedushin, the sugyas of Kibbut Avim. And Kedushin is also mentioned in Kedushin that a person was niskaven to eat basar chazir, and he ended up eating basar teles. So he planned on eating non-kosher. There's a case in the end of Kedushin. He planned on committing gilui arayos, but it was actually his wife. So again, that's an isser. It's not as severe as the actual isser of violating Kibbut Avim or Mora Avim, but it is a severe avera nonetheless to purposefully try to do an avera and then to actually not succeed because it wasn't available to you. That same act that you thought was us, it was really mutter. So he says that if you know for a fact that the kid is going to go against you, so all you're really doing is lowering the level of the Isser. That he thought he was going to violate Isser A, but he's really violating Isser B, and this Isser B is less. So there is no Isser of Lifnei Iver. Now that's the halachic side of things. Then he just gives an eitzah, which was based on a very good story, and it's a pashut eitzah, but the story that he gives to back it up is very nice. So he says that, there was a girl who was a yesoma, she didn't have parents, and she she made a shidduch with somebody, and then she found out that there was a problem with the guy that not life threatening, but there was an issue. So she went to her principal of her seminary to ask him his advice. She didn't have parents to go to talk about it. So she asked this principal of the seminary, what should she do? Should she drop the shidduch and try for another one? So the principal didn't know what to say. So he went to talk to Rav Shach about it. And Rav Shach said, look, you're stuck. Because no matter what you do, if you're Rav Shach, she's going to be upset at you. Meaning, if she drops the shidduch and she ends up marrying somebody else, she'll always have in the back of her mind, oh, maybe the first guy was better. And she's going to blame you for that. And if you tell her to keep the shidduch, and like Lamaisa, this condition will lead to certain hardships in life, and she's always going to blame you. Every time she has a difficult day because of this particular problem, she's going to blame you because you told her she should stick with it. So, monoshock, you're toast. So he didn't really give him an answer. So then the girl comes back to the principal and says, what do you say? And he said, look, I don't really know what to do. And even Rav Shach didn't know what to do. And she starts crying uncontrollably. She's very sad, like, who's going to help me? I don't know what to do, etc. So the fellow goes back to Rav Shach and he says, you have to help this girl. And he says, you're right, send her to me. They sent her to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach spoke to her, and nothing to do with the shidduch. He just spoke to her and he said, listen, you don't have parents. Anything you need, you come to me. Anything you would have asked your father, you come to me, and I will try to help you out as best as I can. And Kachava, she came back to speak to him a second time. They still didn't talk about the shidduch. The third time, Rav Shach told her, I think you should keep the shidduch. I think you should marry the guy. And she did. And, you know, happily ever after, obviously, like everything in life. But Baruch Hashem, it worked out. So the principal goes to Rav Shach and he asks him to try to explain what was going on here. So Rav Shach said to him, look, she came to you as a principal. She came to you. You have to give her the right answer. Meaning you're the authority figure. You have to give her the right answer. She didn't come to me as an authority figure. I told her whatever you would do, whatever you needed from a father, you should try to get from me. So she came to me as a father. Fathers, you know, there are no right or wrong answers. If you give her the wrong answer, as a principal, she's going to have tainas on you. Fathers, and I can speak as a parent, you know, whatever, whether I'm a good father or I'm not a good father, I can tell you that I try to be a good father, and I also make about 1,000 mistakes a day in my parenting. You know, if not 1,000 a day, then 1,000 a week. It's just the nature of parenting that you're constantly making mistakes. But it's understood that a parent has that love for a child, and that will never be, you know, you're willing to forego the mistakes that your parents make, because not every answer has to be the correct answer. It's my father sitting with me and working it out with me. So said Rav Shach, that's why I took on this role that you couldn't have taken on, and therefore I was able to advise her, and she's not going to have tainas on me no matter what happens. So Rav Zilberstein says to this particular parent, he says, look, you know, instead of setting up a bunch of rules, do this, don't do that, you must go to the yeshiva, you must not, sit down with your son like a father. Sit down with your son and say, look, let's talk about the yeshivas. Here's what I think is true about you. Here's what I like about you. Here's what's good about you. These are your milas. And I think that because of that, this yeshiva caters to your particular milas. If you just sit down and say to the kid, you're going to this yeshiva at the end, so, you know, maybe he'll listen, maybe he won't, maybe he'll rebel. But if you show him, look, I'm your father, not everything I say is right, but I care about you, and I'm doing it out of love, and I'm doing it because I care. So Mela, he's not going to blame you no matter what happens in the particular decision, and he'll feel a much greater ownership over the decision. That's Keilu, he feels like I consulted with my father. You know, maybe not right away, but maybe in the long run.